With Mother's Day just around the corner, are you thinking about something truly special for your mama? I am. And let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? So here is how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email, and these can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice. And then mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And then guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. You get to preserve her voice and her stories for your family. I mean, imagine you're discovering stories about her youth, her adventures, the challenges that she had to overcome in life, the way that you two connect and relate, and also the way her grandkids will relate to her. I mean, this book becomes a legacy and something that you and your future generations can truly treasure forever. I mean, your mom's given you a lifetime of stories, so this is your chance to give her a way to share them. And not only am I creating one for my mom now for Mother's Day, but for my dad's birthday, as my dad is turning 80 this year, and I like to gift him with sentimental gifts. You know, he's gifted my family and I so many treasured moments. So I wanted to create something for us to collect these memories and for my future kids, for them to know my father's voice. So beautiful, sentimental, easy to use. Let me emphasize, easy to use. And you can truly create one for anyone. Your mom, your dad, your bestie, maybe even you. So check out mylifeinabook.com and use code MAGIC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code MAGIC for 10% off today. This is pretty awesome. So if you are into science-backed products when it comes to your health, your gut health, but also woman-owned products, I must introduce you to Equilibria. I'm so thankful I discovered them this year. I mean, Equilibria, they help you take on your wellness journey knowing that you have a dedicated one-on-one support to help you achieve your goals. So it's not like you're just taking a pill mindlessly. You actually get one-on-one support. That's awesome. And their signature product, which is EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense, it comes in a convenient 3-in-1 capsule form. And so this is specifically formulated to bolster digestive health and fortify gut barrier protection, among other benefits. And we know that a balanced gut not only enhances our immunity, but also contributes to our overall mental well-being and our quality of sleep, of course, having efficient digestion, and even radiant skin. But what distinguishes Equilibria's probiotic supplement is its meticulous selection, which is tailored to women's health needs. And of course, like I said, science-backed, and they're also ensuring affordability without compromising potency. And as someone who once struggled pretty severely with gut health issues for years, I intensified my focus on gut health in, I'd say, around 2020. And I'm thrilled to have recently discovered these products this year, as of course, they're backed by research for women's well-being, they're women-owned, and they support overall microbiome health, warding off harmful bacteria and enhancing our nutrient absorption. So head to myeq.com and use code MAGIC for 15% off Equilibria's microbiome defense and much more. That's myeq.com. And use code MAGIC at checkout for 15% off site-wide today.
Yeah, it's an old soul you are seeking out. Soulmate. But what happens is, you know, people get into a relationship with somebody that's not a part of their soul family, and they don't have an agreement, but just because they come along and they think, well, maybe this will work, and, you know, it's better than being alone or whatever, rather than holding out, because this is what you're looking for. And I can even get from the spirit guide some of the signs. This is what your soul is really looking for in a soulmate.
Now let the magic begin. Hey. Hello, Soul Tribe. It's Raquel. And this week since I've been back has been overwhelming with warmth and loving messages from so many of you. So thank you so much. I feel very welcomed back into society. I also promised today's intro would not be as long as a couple days ago. Just wanted to give you a post-ashram life update on Monday. And I'm also happy that I reshared Dear Shell, as I've been sifting and sorting through the messages. It seems that Dear Shell has been continuing to resonate and heal many of you. So thank you. And that was April 1st's episode, by the way. And big news, we are approaching Your Own Magic's 100th episode. So it was clear to me, crystal quartz clear, that we just must do a Q&A. But more importantly, I think it'd be even cooler if we could include your voices. So if you'd like to ask a question, please send me an MP3 and MP3 onlys, by the way, to hello@yourownmagic.life. You can just use your voice memos app if you want, or your phone. And I'm also assuming that there's something like something on Android. I was looking it up. There's something called HiQ MP3 voice recorder. I don't know about the Androids, but their iPhones definitely have voice memo app. There's also your computer. Just make sure. Again, MP3. And feel free to include your first name, where you're from, and I mean, why not also add your Instagram? Plug your Instagram while you're at it so everyone can follow you and then ask your question. I'm excited to hear them, and I'm excited to round up your beautiful vocals on the podcast. I hopefully at least can answer your whatever question you have. No promises, but I'm hoping I can. Also, welcome to part two of this Ainsley series. This is actually, in a sense, his third episode. If you haven't listened to Monday's episode yet, I highly, highly, highly recommend it, as this episode only expands from it. You may be scratching your head a bit if you listen to this one and not the previous one that I posted on Monday. I'll link all of the other episodes, the two other episodes, in the show notes for you. But yes, they are absolutely game-changing, mind-expanding, soul-expanding episodes. So be excited for whatever shifts within you. And in this part, we really dive into soulmates and karma, two of my favorite topics. And of course, we talk about so much more, but that really stuck out to me. And I must say also, if you want to join me in Bali, well, there are 3 spots left, which is so cool. And it's about 100 days from now, July 22nd through the 26th. And I know it's going to come up in no time whatsoever. I'm excited I couldn't be more thankful for the group I'm experiencing Bali with, and my first retreat with, with Bree Melanson. Her episode should also be linked in the show notes, because she is another psychic medium, and she's brilliant, and she's going to be channeling and teaching us how to channel in Bali. That will be a cool experience. I've had a lot of insane breathwork moments with her. Also, thank you for today's sponsors, Hum Nutrition and For Sigmatic. I hope you listen to their quick little commercial breaks, as there's so much new stuff that they offer. And thank you to all who have been supporting them, because honestly, in turn, you've been supporting this podcast and keeping it alive. So I really appreciate that. And so honestly, I actually really couldn't thank you enough for supporting the sponsors, because that supports me, which how could I not be thankful for that? Anyway, I told you I'd keep this short and sweet. So without further ado, let the magic be continued with Ainsley MacLeod. But what is interesting to me, and then you brought this up in Old Soul's Guidebook as well, is that
we have a life plan, yet at the same time, we also have free will. And that part is what's really hard for some to wrap their head around.
Yeah.
Because we want to live our soul's mission so we can have this experience and then finally experience the astral plane, look back on all our lives, go to the causal plane, but also be a guide for others. But in the meantime, our focus right now is our soul's mission. And there are so many potential interruptions and blockages and bumps in the road and past life, fears and phobia, interferences that might sometimes stand in the way, it feels.
Right.
How do we know we're being guided? And also, how do we know, because we have the free will, how can we make sure that we freely choose the right path towards our destiny?
Well, yeah, this is a big part of, you know, what I try to answer in the book. Because, yeah, there's two things going on there. We do have this destiny. Our soul creates this life plan on the astral plane before it comes here. And, you know, we're guided to follow that the whole time. But we're here to use our free will. And it can be so hard to tell, you know, what's the voice of the soul and what's the voice of the fear? I mean, one of the great things about doing past life work is that as you start to blow through the fears and you start to get rid of them, then what's left is you're not listening to the fears, you're listening to the voice of the soul or the guidance of the spirit guides. It just becomes a lot easier. Now, what I talk about is that if we get presented with opportunities, you know, the spirit world is working all the time to really help us on our path. And of course, we're not always listening a lot of people are not even aware they have spirit guides. And if we do, how do you use them? You know, I mean, before I sort of really got on this path and people would talk about, you know, I'm meant to be a psychic and, you know, I've got spirit guides looking after me. I'd go, oh, they're doing a pretty terrible job, aren't they? And it was only when I started doing this work, I realized, you know, things keep going wrong. What's the common denominator? And it was me, you know, and I really, you know, once I was able to look back at my life and the choices that I made, it was very clear the times where I really felt this is what I'm meant to do. I feel, you know, an opportunity has come my way and I need to take this. That was very, very, very strong. And then other times where I realized that I overrode the intuitive message that I was getting. You know, it was like the universe is kind of going, ooh, careful here, don't do this. And I was going, hey, you know, it's going to be fine. And so the balance, the way to really navigate life in a way where you're using your free will and following the life plan is to really pay attention to the gut feelings and the messages that you're getting, because a lot of us feel things in our bodies, you know, it can be like if you, let's say you meet somebody, let's say it's a relationship thing, is this person right for you or not? Very often, if you check into your body, you'll feel something. You know, when you think about this person, how do you feel? Is it like a sort of like a positive feeling, or is there something gnawing at you? And literally people can feel it in their stomachs, or you can feel it in your heart chakra. So really, you know, pay attention. You know, so much of the time where I think if people had more awareness of such things as life plans and the fact that there are soulmates, for example, when it comes to relationships, I think they'd make different choices. You know, I've heard people say, well, isn't it just all random? And you know, that there's no real plan to it. And it's like, oh my God, no, you spent an awful lot of time creating this plan, and your spirit guides all the time are trying to help you stay on track. Or if you fall off the track, they're trying to get you back on. And so the more you can listen, again, it goes back to things like meditation and really tapping into, you know, what are those small still voices telling you? It's amazing when you do that, that you can really, in fact, one thing that that can be very, very helpful is that if you have a question about something, you know, is this the right path for me, is to sleep on it. I mean, people have been doing that for forever, you know, excuse me. But if you put out a question to the spirit world before you go to bed, it's amazing how, especially if it's like an A-B type of thing, you know, should I do this or should I do that, that you wake up in the morning and you have such clarity that you go, why did I even bother asking the question? But what's happened in that space of time, in the 8 hours or whatever that you've been perhaps hobnobbing with the other side in your sleep, you got the answer, you got the clarity.
That is so true. And sometimes actually even at the ashram, I wrote a little note and I put it by my bedside to deliver me a message that night. And my dream was so, I didn't understand the dream in the midst of it. That happens, of course. Like, you know, it's just very all out there, so random people, random events happen, but you have this one aching feeling that you know has been deep within you for so long. And it's the one thing that personally for me has held me back for many things. And I woke up and it was clear as day, this fear of abandonment. I have a very strong rooted fear of abandonment that when I was at the ashram, I got that clarity when I wrote that note and put it by my bedside.
That's terrific. I mean, that's really how it works.
Yeah.
And then that fear of abandonment is a past life issue.
Yeah.
And that's probably the biggest fear. Actually, interestingly, when I was putting together a list of the 10 major fears for my second book, I was checking it out with my spirit guides, and I said, well, obviously fear of death is the biggest. And they said, no, it's the second biggest, that rejection is from the soul's perspective bigger than a fear of death.
Wow. So
it goes back to abandonment of some kind in a past life. And it can be abandonment by the mother. It's always abandonment that leads to terrible consequences. It may be, and terrible consequences from your soul's perspective just mean that you were taken off your life plan. Something was bad enough to take you off the plan it had. So it could be like being thrown into poverty, or maybe you died early because your mom didn't want you, or something like that.
So I might be thrown off my life plan.
Well, you have to be thrown off your life plan for something to show up as a fear.
Okay.
And so in this life, when you have rejection, there's several things that will show up. And they can be triggered in this life, but whatever happens in this life is not the cause. To really get to the root of it, you have to go back to the past life.
Right.
And so, you know, because you can whittle away at the symptoms in this life, but sometimes it doesn't go away because you're never really going to the root cause. And sometimes just understanding, yeah, I was abandoned in this past life, this happened, that happened, the soul again, not with a bang but with a whimper, just goes, oh, okay, all right, we'll just let that go.
Okay, no big deal. I love that is, it's that simple when you can just tune in and tap in. And I know you provide so many meditations on your like membership site for people to have their past life regressions. And so there are ways that you can find out what the past life, what the trigger is, what the fear was, what happened. There's so many.
Yeah, we do a monthly regression in the soul world, and
I love that.
That can be interesting. It gives everybody a chance to do that. We do it on a theme, but sometimes people go rogue, you know, and they find that they're going back to like something, just something they really needed, you know. And it could be a fear of rejection, such a big one. And, you know, it will make it difficult, makes relationships tricky in this life. So there's a tendency to feel like an outsider, feel like you don't belong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was my entire childhood in this incarnation. But it's interesting. It's, yes, it's rejection. And I know that there's synonymous rejection and abandonment, but actual like abandonment, not just rejection, but like abandonment of from someone that you love so much or people that you love so much, that for whatever reason is.
There's, you know, like I say, from the soul's perspective, there's nothing worse.
Yeah.
Because it goes to a place where they're just terrible consequences.
It's so interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, we can work through this. We'll talk about this at some point, you know. Yeah, it just sometimes it just takes a little bit of digging around and we find whatever there is there.
Thank you.
And then it makes it much easier to feel safe in a relationship. Because if you're carrying rejection, I mean, you can push people away without knowing it. It can, you can put up all sorts of invisible barriers. The energy can be just saying, "Hey, you know, I don't feel safe in a relationship," and then you wonder why it's so hard to even find one, or to stay in one. And your soul is on the hair trigger because it's worried that person will abandon you, like happened 300 years ago.
One of my favorite sounds in the morning and smells in the morning is coffee. Yes, especially mushroom coffee. Especially for sigmatic mushroom coffee, which I am pretty sure that you've heard of. Just thankful for the value that they've gifted my body, so I honestly could better tolerate a good cup or two of coffee. And now, also, my skin. All right, my poor skin. I live in the driest state of the United States, Utah. And unfortunately, my skin, my poor dry skin, can get pretty scaly. So when I received my Four Sigmatic skincare, seriously, only after 2 mushroom masks, my skin was baby smooth. I just scrubbed their new mushroom face mask and tonic made with organic cacao and reishi and chaga and activated charcoal, Panax ginseng, got to kalu and just some spices. So a lot of miraculous superfoods. And I'm not going to lie, I was even tempted to eat it because it says that it's edible. And did I? Yeah. Did I like it? Yeah. But what I really love the taste of right now is their new organic mushroom coffee latte with maitake and chaga mushrooms. This is an absolute game changer because it's keto and vegan friendly. They actually sweeten it with, instead of any sort of sugar, they sweeten it with lucuma and stevia. So there is 0 grams of sugar and it just tastes so good. And maitake is the shroom that is a natural remedy for diabetes and high cholesterol and high blood pressure. Dad, I'm talking to you. And it's also a cancer fighter. And what I love to do sometimes is to just have, you know, a normal cup, like brew a normal cup of coffee and then add some of their elixirs like lion's mane, which is a focus enhancer, or cordyceps with my workout enhancer to my coffees or teas. And lately I've been adding a little bit of MCT oil on top of it and some vanilla coconut almond creamer. And then, ooh, also reishi. Oh, reishi, which is the perfect nighttime treat. And mix that with my coconut almond creamer and I am good. Sometimes I might even add in a little bit of lavender essential oil. And it's just so soothing right before bed. Then, of course, you know, apply one of their new masks. And that's part of my evening routine lately. So I highly encourage you to try Four Sigmatic and get 15% off when you go to foursigmatic.com/soultribe and use the promo code SOULTRIBE. One word, no spaces. The link is in the show notes. That's foursigmatic.com/soultribe. One word, no spaces, for 15% off your magical coffee, skincare, and mushroom elixir order. Soul good. I think this is a great segue to start talking about relationships and even soulmates, because you talk a lot about soulmates in this book, which was rather helpful. And let's say you run into a soulmate who just feels like an old friend. It just feels familiar. It's just that very familiar, I know you, but I don't really know you, but I know you feeling.
Totally.
That happens. Yeah. And that happens with me on rare occasion too. Sure. And I have a feeling, Ainsley, because you and I are old souls, we probably knew each other in a past life.
Oh, we've known each other before.
I figured.
Yeah. This is a reunion.
Reunion. I love that.
Yeah. It's a tricky business, the soulmate mm-hmm. thing. And I think partly because there are myths surrounding it, or maybe some
glamorization,
romantic ideas about what it looks like. You're going to meet a soulmate and it solves all your problems and everything's going to be just sweetness and light and cherubs and trumpets and stuff, it's not always like that. Yeah, so my spirit guides, they generally talk about soul family being this large group, the group of souls that you came into the world with, and this might have been, say, 5,000 or 6,000 years ago. So you all come in and then off you go on your separate journeys. But all the time, and particularly once you become an old soul, you're trying to share the journey with members of your soul family. It's all the time that you're trying to reunite and share karmic lessons and so on. By the time you get to be a very old soul, this is what spirit guides are working on most. They described it to me as the great game. It's for them, it's all about trying to help us meet each other and meet those that we can have the deepest, most intimate relationships with, because we have the deepest soul connection that comes from being a member of the family. Now, when you meet somebody who's a member of your soul family, but you've known them before, you were married in a past life, or your business partners 500 years ago or something, then the spirit guides would call those old friends. Mm. So you might meet an old friend. Now, if you meet an old friend with whom you also have what they call a romantic agreement, then they'd be happy to call that a soulmate. And I have to say, my spirit guides will sometimes just use the word soulmate to just, they'll just throw it out there just to say that you have a really deep connection. But on a more sort of, if you want to be more pedantic about it, yeah, it's a romantic agreement. And so when you have a romantic agreement with another soul, it's not to say, we have to make this work. This is the one soulmate. Without this, my life will be incomplete. I'll never be happy. It's just to say, okay, our intention is to come together and see if we can make this work. And the agreement is it's not carved in stone. And if it doesn't work out, well, that's fine. There's going to be another one. Because, most souls are not meant to be alone. I mean, I've only met two clients in 20 years who are totally, totally, it shows up in their life plan. In the life plan, it shows up as no mission of connection. They would be unhappy in a relationship. I mean, both of them lived alone and totally agreed with me when I said, well, you having somebody around would drive you nuts. And they go, oh, yeah, I couldn't have a relationship. Oh, no, so happy on my own. But most people are wanting a relationship and they're wanting intimacy. And, even if they say they're not, usually that's just a fear showing up.
And so,
yeah, exactly. And as an old soul, you want to have that. You get to that deepest place with somebody you know. So you have that romantic agreement. But let's say you meet that person and they turn out to be abusive. Well, you don't want to stick it out just because that's a soulmate. I mentioned this in my first book, that I was doing readings out of a shop years ago. this woman came in, and immediately before she even sat down, I could tell that she was being physically and verbally abused. It was just like the spirit guides are sort of yelling at to get my attention about that. And so she sits down, and I go, you know, do you mind me asking, are you being, you know, physically and verbally abused by your spouse? And she goes, oh, yeah. But she says, I feel I'm supposed to. And I'm going, what? And she goes, yeah, I'm supposed to. And I'm going, I don't know what you're talking about. She goes, well, he's my soulmate. And I feel there's big lessons from this. And what the spirit guides are saying is like, no, the lesson is if you're in an abusive relationship is to get the hell out. You know, it's like no soul is meant to be abused. You know, there is no support for that. It's just all about if there's a situation like that, it's either getting over it or getting out of it. So things can go wrong is basically what I'm saying. You know, your souls have the best of intentions. They create the agreement. But when you get together, I mean, something could be well wrong. You know, very commonly what I'll find is one of my clients meets a soulmate. It's everything is set up from a soul perspective. It looks really great. But, you know, all these years have gone by since they made that agreement. And now when they meet, he's got an alcohol problem or an anger issue, or she's so damaged from the past relationship, she can't open her heart chakra enough to have a relationship, you know, so all sorts of things can go wrong. So when a soulmate relationship doesn't work out, what your soul will do immediately is look for other agreements.
Okay, so we have multiple agreements. We don't just make this one romantic agreement.
And this is such an important thing to, yeah, because I've had people come to me and they go, oh my gosh, I've broken up with a soulmate and I will never love again. And it's like, oh, no, you know.
There's more.
You know, so, yeah, I had somebody's 23 years old going, you know, I'll never meet anybody else. And I'm going, I think you will, you know, you could be here for like another 60 or 70 years, I think you're going to be okay. But yeah, the idea that there's just one soulmate, it's one of those sort of things that can be a little limiting if that's what you think. And sometimes the next one will be better and, they're not fallback positions or second best or anything like that. They can, you know, there's can even be a stronger chance of things working out. So, I often encourage people not to try and make it work just because there's a soul agreement if it's really just not what you're looking for right now.
Perhaps as well, maybe it didn't work out, but maybe that was part of the lesson that we were supposed to learn in this life. Is that a potentiality?
Yeah.
Romantic partner we were with, soulmate or not. Yeah. Wait, are all romantic partners that we experience soulmates?
Well, no. The intention is that they should be.
Right.
But, and again, I think it's one of those things, if we just knew about how this works, you know, had a better idea. I mean, I look at my life and I think, well, how different that would look if I'd known this when I was in my teens, rather than sort of starting to learn it in my 40s, my life might have looked a little different. Because as an old soul, you are seeking out soulmate. But what happens is, people get into a relationship with somebody that's not a part of their soul family. They don't have an agreement. But just because they come along and they think, well, maybe this will work and, you know, it's better than being alone or whatever. And rather than holding out, you know, and I've worked with people who, you know, where I've tried to get them to just, you know, hold out. Because this is what you're looking for. And I can even get from the spirit guide some of the signs. This is what your soul is really looking for in a soulmate. But they meet somebody and it's unsuitable. But it's better than being alone or they don't really believe that they're going to find that soulmate. But then by getting into a relationship that doesn't have the depth that they're looking for, the needs are not met, you know, usually on both sides, and it doesn't last. But while they're going through that sort of, let's say, sort of second-rate relationship, they're missing the opportunity to have the really good one.
Mm.
You know, because energetically, it's, you know, it's going to be very, very difficult, you know. It's
yeah.
Sometimes you need to be available. And so the more that you understand yourself and understand then what you're looking for in a relationship, the easier it becomes to draw that person in and to recognize that person when you meet them.
But how do we get clear and call in that soulmate, that romantic soulmate then?
Well, this is a technique that is very, very powerful and is to quite simply come up with a list of 20 things. If you're looking for a relationship, have a list of 20 things that you want in a relationship, in that person, and talk to the spirit world about it every day.
But what if our mind is getting in the way of what, and how could we distinguish that? What if it's like our mind wants this super fit, all these very superficial things in life?
Well, here's what happens. If you have a list of 20 things that you want, and let's say being super fit is on the list. If you talk through that list every night with your spirit guides, after a while, you start to add in something where you think, gosh, you know, I realize intimacy is something that I'm really looking for, and I forgot to put that on my list. And then you start to think, well, is being super fit really what I'm looking for? Or do I just, I want somebody who's, you know, in reasonably good shape? And you kind of hone the list. And that's how you get to the deeper place, because you're working back and forth with the spirit world, and so things get thrown out of your list. You suddenly realize, well, blonde hair and a mustache really that important, you know, or you know, is there something else that I might put in that place on the list? So you know, basically, those on the other side are helping you to create a list that's really going to work for you. So it, yeah, you kind of hone it over a period of time.
I'm making my list tonight.
and repetition is so important. The spirit guides are funny. If I get an answer to a question and I ask the question again, and they'll say to me, asked and answered. But, you know, they don't want to waste time. You know, we already gave you an answer. So, but it's very different when it comes to something you're wanting to draw into your life. Repetition, pester them to talk about it all the time, and you know, it puts things on the front burner. It you know, brings it to the surface. I often talk about how a client told me years ago that she had read in a book that if you really wanted something, to write it on a piece of paper and put it in a drawer and forget about it. And I can't tell you how much my spirit guides disagreed with that. They were just appalled, you know, like it's so not how they work.
Wow.
It's like if you want something, you let the universe know. You talk about it all the time.
Wow. Good to know.
This is a sort of, from their point of view, it's part of sort of basic manifestation, if you like. And so, you know, you keep it uppermost for yourself, and, you know, you might find that you, because it's on the front burner rather than forgotten about in the back of a drawer, that you talk to friends about it and maybe they remember it, and then suddenly they think, oh, I know somebody who could help you here, or you know, whatever it is.
How do we know that we are on the path towards them, that we're walking towards them? Because I can't feel yet. I don't know if my guides are guiding me to somebody specific, or if I'll just know while I'm along the path. Like, how do we know that we are potentially walking toward the soulmate?
I think what, again, it goes to that list, but it's related to what you know about yourself, because what's on your list should be a reflection of your needs.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people, and it's to do with the past life fear as well, that they don't know what their needs are.
Oh, I know what my needs are.
And so but a lot of people, they have no clue. Mm. And so when you talk to them about, you know, what are your needs, it's like, oh, I don't know. For for some people, they've never had the luxury of being able to think about their own needs, you know, so often having to put other people's needs ahead of their own. But if you can get really clear about what your needs are in this life, that makes it very much easier to create a list when it comes to relationship.
And perhaps if they are struggling figuring out, finding their needs, maybe they can look at what they are grateful for in this present moment in their life, what they enjoy, and maybe just ask for more of that in their list with their partner.
Absolutely. That's great. Because, yeah, I mean, we're talking about if you're looking for a relationship, but absolutely.
Yeah.
If you're in a relationship.
I was about to ask. You read my mind.
Yeah, you know, if you're in a relationship, then think about the needs and, you know, are your needs being met?
That's big.
And if your needs are not being met, then what would it take to have your needs met? So, you know, really think about this and then express it. You know, I've had clients, I had one client I'm thinking of from a few years ago who broke up with her husband, and he was completely blindsided. I mean, he was missing all the cues for many, many reasons. But she had never just, you know, expressed her needs and said, like, this one thing particularly is driving me nuts. And you know, the guy quite reasonably, when they broke up, said, well, why didn't you say something? And so being clear about your needs, it does help you to then formulate the requests to, you know, whether it's to the universe or it's to a partner.
Right.
To say, hey, this is saying, you know, I recognize this need is being unmet. And, you know, here's, you know, not just to say, hey, my needs not being met, but here's what I think would, you know, I need or needs that has to happen for that need to be met and for the relationship to be successful.
Oh, and that's so empowering to, like, speak that truth to another human or to recognize it and share it with the guides.
Yeah.
So you also have a section on the spiritual view on sex, which I found fascinating because I was like, what? They don't do it in the astral plane?
That's right. The spirit guide saying you can't have great sex on the astral plane.
Oh, wait. You can't have great sex, or you can't have sex?
Yeah, well, you can't have any sex, you know.
Okay.
That's right. You know, it's a physical plane experience.
So take advantage while you're here, basically.
Yeah. I mean, it's connect a lot of people. You know, they do make, you know, intimate connection through sex. And, you know, the spirit guides would say we all have a right of great sex. I mean, obviously, it's not a priority for some people, and for others, it really is. And again, there can be all sorts of past life blocks. You know, we talked about the effect of sexual trauma in a past life and how that will show up in this life, and that will it will act as a block.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting that one of the things I talk about in there is that one of the Soul World members had asked, she had a few past lives as a prostitute or courtesan, and wondered how that would show up. And there's really not one single way that it does, because it really depends on what kind of experiences you had. What was there a huge level of coercion, or, you know, what were the reasons and what kind of experience did you have? But you'll find that a lot of times people who've been very disempowered sexually, and I'm thinking of somebody who might have been forced into prostitution as a child in a past life, they will often use sex as a way to regain power in this life. Or they can go the other way and become very powerless around, you know, sex can be a major sort of trigger, can trigger anger and all sorts of things. It's a fascinating subject, because sometimes when people are on the spiritual path, they neglect that part. They don't realize that this is actually a very, very important aspect of being human. And, you know, we're all, the soul sees mind, body, and spirit as being one thing. It can't separate itself out from the whole bundle, which is fascinating. And once you understand that, a lot of things make sense. So you can have somebody who's got everything together spiritually, everything together mentally, if you like. The sort of the mind and spirit are okay, but the body is neglected. And sometimes that can be in the area of sex. Sometimes it can be just, you know, lack of exercise or lack of touch, even. Something that comes up an awful lot that I hear the spirit world talking about is the importance of massage, especially if you're not in a relationship or you're in a relationship and you're not getting enough physical connection.
Why is it so important?
There's loads of other reasons for having a massage, but well, they talk about the connection between having the body touched. It makes like it's a sort of connection from the universe. It's sort of energetic. The problem is that if you neglect the body, and that can be, you know, any kind of sensuality, it could be sexual or anything. If you neglect the body for too long, it can be very hard to get it back operating as it should, as part of this trio. You know, sort of a, you know, and it's different for everybody. The balance of mind, body, and spirit depends on who you are. But it's very important to make sure that each of those parts are working. And massage is a very sort of quick way of
realigning everything.
Yeah. I've actually had just times when the spirit guides have given a client instruction. They'll say massage and masturbation.
Wow.
Go ahead, you know, get back into the body, because because you're shut down. And the problem is, if the body is shut down, it has a knock-on effect on the other two parts.
Hmm.
And because they're connected, I mean, this is where let's say you have a physical injury, it can affect you emotionally as well. You know, you could get depressed because you're laid up with a broken leg or something. So it each part can influence the other.
It's all connected.
All connected.
One more thing I want to touch on is karma.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are so many misconceptions around karma. What really, Ainsley, what really is karma? Is there really good or bad karma?
There is good and bad
karma. Is there such a thing?
Yeah.
And how does it influence our life?
Well, karma is influencing us in all ways, really, at all times. Our souls are kind of aware of the karma that needs to be balanced. The important thing to recognize about karma is that it's just about balance. It's a sort of continual balancing act. And it can show up in different ways. I mean, let's say that you were an abandoned child in a past life. Karmically, you can balance that life with one in which you become a caregiver in this life, take care of children. Sometimes it can be very sort of like for like, but it's always about balancing. People worry about, oh gosh, you know, how can I balance the karma? How do I know? And, you know, sometimes just the important thing is be kind, you know, just, you can't go wrong, you know, like really just be loving and be kind. And
yes. At all costs, always choose the higher road.
Yeah. And it's not always easy. I mean, you know.
It's not always easy, but it's simple. Like, it's such a simple, you can feel like, all right, this isn't right now, how I'm responding to this situation. You can feel it, and it doesn't feel right. It might feel right in the moment. You're like, yeah, take that.
That's right. Afterwards, and then karmically, the answer would be to, to balance that in some way. It might be to own your part in it, or to apologize, or something like that.
Yeah,
doesn't have to be a huge thing. You know, you don't have to. I know. I don't. Maybe you don't have to take care of orphan children something like that. You know, to balance something. It can be just in small ways. So you can be doing it all the time.
That's interesting you say that. And I do feel like the two monks that were there, they're beautiful. I loved them so much and I deeply connected with them. But they told me that they were doing this for some karmic debt. Mm. I mean, I'm open to whatever their heart feels, you know, is Right. But I thought that was interesting. And so it's interesting you said that.
Well, we're all doing things for karmic reasons without, and we don't always know it.
Right.
I mean, you can certainly explore past lives and find what sort of theme, may come up from there. And that can help. You can also look at your life and see the sort of things that have gone on and think about ways to balance that. There's a lot about themes as well that show up in your life, and that can help to point you in certain directions.
What do you mean by themes?
Well, you get, let's go back to what you're talking about abandonment.
Yeah.
So if you can see like there's a theme that shows up, and we know there's a past life issue around that, which would explain why it becomes a theme in this life. Well, recognizing that, ways that you can balance that. In fact, you're doing it. Like I say, people are doing it without knowing it, and you're doing it with this podcast. You're doing it right now in this moment. What you're doing is you're uniting people. You're bringing people together, and that's the way that you heal the past life fear of rejection. It's the other side of the coin, if you like.
I didn't even think of it like that. I didn't even think of it karmically. I was just like, I'm doing this to get over this fear of mine. But I didn't think of it in a past life. I just thought of it just, that's just how I am. I'm afraid of being rejected and judged and abandoned and all the things. But it's interesting to have that perspective on it.
And your soul is going, okay, we've been abandoned and rejected in this life and the last. And now there's a lot of people out there who need community.
Yeah.
And need to feel they belong. And you help a lot of people who suffer as you once did. And this is called a spiritual act. You heal yourself by helping those who suffer as you once did. So, a lot of people that you'll be attracting will be those who've had some sort of abandonment and are looking for a place that they can belong.
Wow.
Community. And this is like a major reason why I set up the Soul World membership program that I have.
Yeah. Wow. So, you hit the core of what your own magic and the tribe is about, even though it's interesting though. Yes, I probably made the Facebook Facebook account, and I invited all these people, but then they invited people, and it's like they're all contributing to this act themselves as well.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's really amazing that we can fulfill that if we have this fear of abandonment.
Yeah. Isn't it? It's quite cosmic, isn't it?
It's so cosmic and beautiful.
Yeah.
How can we fully relish in old soul values and walk the talk?
Well, I think, one of the main things is just to, be conscious of modeling old soul values, I think is, if you're an old soul, well, prove it, it's like, act like one. And really, bottom line, come from a loving place. Be as loving and caring and compassionate and kind as you possibly can. And, be conscious of it. And, think about it. Again, there's a conscious part of this. I mean, it's, you'll embody it. I mean, it's like anything. If you just keep practicing it, it's like if you do karate all the time and those moves just become automatic, or if you play piano and you don't think about it, where a C chord is, you don't consciously have to think about it. But just taking the more kindness, thinking about it, the more it just becomes an automatic kind of thing.
It does. And just like the non-judgment for all living beings, including yourself. That's actually my very first tattoo is on my wrist, and it says Ahimsa, which means to practice non-violence and compassion for all living things, including yourself. Mm. And there are times where for me, having compassion for all living things, that's simple. But the including myself part can be challenging.
Oh,
sometimes.
Yeah, that's the one place so many old souls fall down on that one. It's like, I have to remind clients, if everybody else is worthy of your love, what's wrong with you?
There's nothing wrong. There's just a lot that you have been through. but nothing wrong at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there anything else you want to share about the Old Soul Guidebook before rapid fire?
Oh my gosh. Well,
there's so much. I have more questions too, but it's like,
I would say if you're interested in reading about what we've been discussing, the website is theoldsoulsguidebook.com. And I hope this speaks to old souls. It's just a few people like yourself have read this, and you know, the feedback has been very positive. It does seem to touch the heart of old souls. So I kind of want to keep that going.
Touch the heart and soul, truly, of all souls. Okay, ladies and gents, I'm not going to forget you, gents. You should definitely try this too. Wherever you're at on Mama Earth, you can be all the way in the Netherlands and it still applies for you. Maybe even Iceland. I don't know. But I believe if you haven't taken advantage of Hum Nutrition's free personal nutritionist to provide you with your own customized bottle of the nutrition you need, plus 20% off when you go to humnutrition.com and enter the promo code MAGIC for 20% off. If you haven't done this yet, I don't know what you're doing. These supplements, their supplements have been meticulously selected and promised to have the highest quality micronutrients to balance tummy issues, skin, nails, metabolism, energy, sleep, and any nutritional deficiencies. So Hum products are gluten-free, they're non-GMO, and most of them are vegan. And as you may know, I'm all about the gut health, and the two products that I believe we all can use are, well, their new Skin Heroes pre and probiotic to balance one of our most important assets, our gut microbiome, or their ever so popular and tried and true Gut Instinct, which is the queen vegan product, keeping millions of digestions running smoothly. And then, of course, any of their raw beauty powders to boost metabolism, energy, and keep your skin glowing or help produce a more glowing, radiant skin. My favorite of their raw beauty powders is their mint chip. And then I mix it with a little bit of stevia in my smoothie, and it is just so good. Ugh. I am also tempted to create some sort of mint chip cookie from it, and maybe it will taste like Girl Scouts Thin Mints, because that was my favorite cookie of all time as a child. I miss that. No, I'm good. I'm fine. Anyways, so just go to humnutrition.com, promo code MAGIC, for 20% off your order. That's humnutrition.com, promo code MAGIC. All right. So, preference of residence, Scotland or America? And be careful, Ainsley.
Yeah, I have to be careful I don't offend anyone. Well, I'm in America by choice. And so right now, I mean, I love going back to Scotland.
Oh, but
yeah. I discovered the Pacific Northwest and don't want to be anywhere else.
You have that island that you're on.
Yeah.
Christine.
Life is good.
Life is good. What's your spirit animal?
Cat.
Oh, why?
Well, I've always been a cat man. That's why I say, what can a cat man do?
That's cute.
I have a cat called Lily, who's not very happy at being locked out of the office while I do this interview. She doesn't just love me. She's in love with me. We have a really beautiful relationship, and she is a little sweetheart. So
do you think she's been your pet in other lives or?
Yeah, she was my cat Tiger when I was a kid.
Cat Tiger.
She was called Tiger.
Oh, she was called Tiger. I thought you meant like.
Yeah, she was. I know. I wish I'd had a pet Tiger. That would have been.
That'd be great.
Yeah. So, you know, I was told I couldn't have a cat, but I went and got one, and I just kept my fingers crossed and hoped that my parents would fall in love with the cat, and they did. So,
aww.
Yeah, I've always loved cats.
I love cats too. Mine just passed away a couple months ago at the age of 24. A long life. I was very happy for him. It was time for him.
Yeah, but what a blessing to have a cat that long.
I know. He'll come back around in some other
He'll
form.
Be back. Yeah.
He'll be back. Mm-hmm. Do you have a spirit guide number? Mine is 44 and 444.
333.
333, yes.
Yeah.
What are your spirit guides? Like, what do they say about numbers?
What they say is about the numbers is that they're reminders that they can draw your attention, that they can get your attention in a moment, and they can say, look over there.
Wow.
You might see it on a license plate, or they can look. Yeah.
They do that with me every day.
Yeah.
What should I do in those moments?
I spoke to somebody years ago, and we ended up doing have over the years done a lot of work together, sort of medical research. And excuse me. He said to me, "Well, I keep seeing 333, and is there any significance?" And I said, "Well, you know, next time we talk, we'll ask the guides." And that night I woke up and I looked at the clock and it was 3:33, and I thought, oh, I'm just dreaming. And I lay there and watched for a minute. And obviously the spirit guides had woken me up right at the beginning of the minute. And I, you know, watched it then change to 3:34. And I asked them, I said, well, you know, what's happening there? You know, why are they doing this? And their answer was pretty much like, well, because we can. But it's the deeper meaning is that it's about getting your attention and reminding you that there is something beyond. It's just a little thing that they can do to say, hey, we're here.
We're here. That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. I see it. I'm like, they're here. They're always there.
Yeah. Well, they are always there. Yeah. They never sleep.
What is your zodiac sign?
I'm Pisces.
Of course you are. Do you think most old souls are Pisces?
I think a lot of them are.
I'm a Leo, though.
A lot of psychics seem to be Pisceans, and I think there's a sort of sensitivity and, you know, connection there.
Right. So your guides told you that I was an outgoing introvert. What are you?
Oh, I'm the opposite.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm actually an extrovert, but you know, I certainly had to deal with shyness. It was a big problem when I was younger, and yeah, so people would look at me and think that I'm an introvert, but I actually recharge with the company of others.
That's amazing. I feel that when people look at me, everybody assumes I'm an extrovert, but you made it very clear. I love that when you said you're an outgoing introvert.
Right. Yeah. You need a lot of time on your own, and I don't.
Yeah. Wait, what happens with a soulmate? Like, when I have a soulmate, but I need a lot of time on my own, we'll just figure it out.
I help a lot of people with this. It's to do with something that's actually in your soul's life plan.
Oh.
And that it's one of the things that I often look at in the first session with a client. It's something called a paradox. And the paradox is that people often have these two missions. They're part of your life plan. And there's the mission of connection and paradoxically the mission of avoidance. So that's why they call it the paradox. When you have that, you're pushed to be with people, but you're pulled back to be on your own.
Huh.
And you have that very strongly. You know, you're I think you're about a 50-50 mix there. You know, a lot of time on your own, but you do need to be around people. And if you're not, you're going to go, you know, a little bit crazy.
I know that experience.
Yeah. So when you meet somebody, the best thing is, well, first of all, figure out where they are, because it can be a problem. I mean, for somebody like me, I need somebody who's, I don't need somebody who's just like me, but I want to be with my partner all the time. And knowing this, that, you know, where we are on this spectrum, if you like, has really been very helpful, because I know to sort of pull back. I mean, for example, Monday nights I go out with the boys. I've been doing it for, I don't know, 10 or 15 years. You know, we go out for dinner and chew the fat, and you know, my wife is usually just delighted to get rid of me, you know. It's like, you know, she has some quiet time. And I recognize that in her, that she has much more of a need for alone time. Whereas 5 minutes will do me, and, you know, I'm looking around like a puppy. Where's my people? So in a partnership, you just really understand where are they.
Yeah.
It's very easy it's easy for somebody who's got all that connection to appear clingy to somebody who needs a lot of space.
Mm-hmm.
And then they perceive that person as pushing them away.
Yeah.
And really just each one is saying, you know, one's going, well, I need people. And the other one's going, I need space.
I'm far too familiar with that dance.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is your favorite breakfast?
Oh my gosh. Soft-boiled eggs and toast.
Soft-boiled eggs and toast. So I'm curious about your guide's thoughts, they probably have never talked to you about it, but because veganism is such a big thing these days and a lot of the audiences, does veganism really work for everyone? What are your guide's thoughts on veganism?
Oh, gosh. It's a bit of a big one. We haven't gone into it too much, but they see it largely as a question of choice, but they have got some very strong feelings about the way animals are treated, as you can probably imagine.
Yes, me too. I get that.
And so... yeah.
Right. But you don't have to be vegan.
No, there's no obligation there. Right.
But they prefer that you are.
No, they would recognize that we're omnivores, but we also have, you know, huge amount of personal choice there. You know, I was vegetarian for years and I'm not now so much because I, you know, realized that I needed to have a little bit of meat in my
life. For health reasons, yeah.
You know.
Right. So, yeah. Okay, that's so interesting. But do they prefer people to be vegan if they can?
I couldn't answer that. I'd have to really sit down and talk to my guides about that. I'm not sure about their preference.
I'm so curious as far as like the spiritual connection, because people have been having a lot of health issues on the diet, but they also, a lot of people thrive on it. So I'm just like, I don't know anymore.
Yeah. But, you know, diet, or there's a book of it. It's not the China syndrome, it's
the China study.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, by T. Colin Campbell. And,
I remember my spirit guide sort of, you know, going along with that, feeling that was, you know, like a mostly plant-based diet. They certainly talk about that a lot.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Yeah. Interesting.
But they also recognize we are all different, you know, and
yeah.
And there is some free will in this.
Of course. Well, yep, we have free will indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yeah. What is a place you'd love to visit that is perhaps in a relation to a past life of yours?
The city of Prague.
Oh, of course.
I have a past life there. And
of course you do.
Yeah, and I haven't been there in this life.
I've
been to most major European cities and just haven't had the chance to go back there.
I guess I need to go to South Africa, Russia, Portugal, and now that island.
Mauritius.
Yes.
Well, there's no obligation to go back to places you've been. You might even have pretty negative feelings about places that have been uncomfortable before.
Yeah, there's something there for Russia with me. Wait, you said that I wrote books. So could you do? Have you ever had clients find something that they've written in the past?
Yes. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yes, somebody not so long ago found, you know, just from a few clues that I was able to get, they found, it was like an obscure writer. Actually, funnily enough, it was a religious writer. But the biography was exactly as I'd given it, and they're able to find a Wikipedia page.
That's actually really cool.
Yeah.
Wow. What would you write on your tombstone for Ainsley MacLeod for this incarnation's experience?
Well, I think it'd be something like I try to do my best. You know,
tried to do my best.
Yeah, it's like really. I've always had that feeling, like, you know, well, I hope I'm, you know, I always used to be concerned, you know, am I doing the right thing? You know, like,
yeah.
Always sort of like, you know, well, concerned about that. All right, yeah, that would be it. I did my best.
I did my best instead of I try to do my best. What can you do? Maybe yeah. Next time. Maybe next time, guys.
Yeah, I'm hoping there will be no next time.
I don't know. You might be getting your wings after this one for sure. Mm-hmm. Define true love.
Oh my gosh. Well, true love. Boy, I think it's a lot to do with acceptance of that other person. I think it's also defining true love. It has to do, I think, where, you know, those core values I talked about.
Yeah.
I think where you're able to safely, you know, express those true values without fear, that you're able to speak your truth. You're able to have your, totally open heart chakra. You know, be in that total loving place where you give each other freedom, that you live without, you know, fear of, you know, violence or that sort of thing, you know, like you resolve conflicts easily, that sort of thing, because those are all connected with the soul's ultimate goals.
Mm, that's beautiful.
That's a good question, because I never really thought about it, just really when it comes down to it.
You didn't cheat, did you? You didn't ask your spirit guides.
No,
cheating.
I'm doing this. I'm going solo right now. Yeah.
Nice. Good for you. So the universe, how about the spirit guides? Somehow they found a way to give you free billboards. So absolutely no costs to share one message across the main highways and major cities all around the world on these billboards. What would the billboards read?
Well, I think the one phrase that I think is so important is your destiny is not a secret. This is a phrase that my spirit guide started using a few years ago. And their point being that, you know, as I said, I think at the beginning of this talk that, you know, it's not a mystery, you know, why you're here. You just need to know what to look for. I would love to see those thought-provoking billboards with your destiny's not a secret and a link to my website.
Of course. I would love to see those too. Manifest them.
Yeah.
So, Ainsley, the last question that I've asked you before, but your answer might change because, you know, they always change every day for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
How would you advise your own magic listeners to create their own magic? And no cheating. I know you're going solo.
So how to create your own magic?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, here's one thing. It's to list three things that you've always wanted to do, and then just choose one of those and start doing it.
I love that. So practical.
Like no excuses, just like not tomorrow, not the next day, but right away. Start taking steps to make that happen.
Yes, because otherwise they'll just continue to linger on as dreams. You don't have to do them all right now.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as you do one, begin
That's right.
one. You don't have to do it fully right now, but to take a step.
Yeah, it's one step. And, you know, it can be overwhelming when you have so many things you want to do and, you know, all these plans, but it's just putting it into action.
Thank you so much, Ainsley. Thank you so much for these few hours. You are I'm so thankful to have found you in this incarnation. And
well, Raquel, it's such a pleasure, and I'm so glad we found each other in this incarnation.
Yeah,
and it's been just an absolute pleasure and an honor talking with you, and you know. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Oh, you are welcome to come on anytime, just so you know.
Anytime. Be careful what you wish for.
Oh,
see you next week.
I'm very, oh yeah, right? For real though. I'd be fine with that. The monthly Ainsley. Just kidding. That'd be awesome. Oh, man. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Dear Yomi, thank you so much for listening. I hope that this episode shifted something within you or expanded you in some way. Those of you who are new and don't know, there is actually a Your Own Magic secret Facebook group. But it's amazing. It's filled with so many brilliant, like-minded individuals who are all into this too and love to support others along their spiritual journeys. The link for that will be in the show notes. And one big update for the Your Own Magic membership site. Well, starting June 17th, the full moon in June, I'm making some simple changes to the Soul Tribe membership site. It's pretty simple. Those who pay the annual fee, which is $44.44 this year, so for 2019, I just felt like I wanted to make it a lifetime service for you. So you don't have to pay that every year, but instead you get it for life. And then those of you paying month to month will stay the same for you as your grandmothered in. But for everyone else, starting June 17th, the full moon, I'm going to release a lifetime bundle only option for the $44.44. You purchase it once, you should just get it for a lifetime, you know? Why not? And it's about to have so many new features and will still be updated monthly with meditations and journalings and spiritual tools and some video too for me to help you become more in tune and connect more deeply with your soul and divine guidance through your own work at home. And most tell me that they use it for their morning routine to kickstart their day in spirit and in a soulful way, and helps them feel like their vibrations are high up there and they feel the shift within. I wanted to give you a heads up well before June 17th is here. So, with all that being said, thank you so much for listening and have a magical day.